You're listening to SpursCast, episode 632. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Stephen Michael. In this episode, Stephen and I will discuss some team and player observations from the first two Spurs preseason games. We'll also discuss notes and roster updates. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with Stephen. Stephen, how have you been?
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again. Spurs season right around the corner. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well myself. You know, this is a good start to it's just fun to be back, you know, in the season. I'm going to kick off here in a few weeks and with the preseason getting started and training camp and all that good stuff. So let's go ahead and jump right into this episode, Stephen. Our first topic is just kind of going over some observations I've taken away from the first two preseason games. Again, we don't want to put too much emphasis on this because it is only two games. The Spurs still have three left before they get to the regular season. And we know that, you know, players from the other team are being left out of games. And then even some of the Spurs players are sitting out on different nights. So let's just recap these two games. Monday, the Spurs got a win in their opening preseason game against Utah in San Antonio. They won by 26 points, 111-85. They led by as many as 26 points. Then on Wednesday, they lost in Detroit to the Pistons, 115-105 by 10. They did trail by 17. In the first half, though, they fell behind early by 17. They actually made a little comeback and got the lead for a time there. But then in the second half, Detroit kind of took over. One notable player missing from that first game to the second game was DeJounte Murray was present for the first game. Then they kept him out of the second game. You know, Coach Pop basically said all the core players are going to miss a game or two in the preseason because he doesn't want to play everyone right now. He wants to make sure people get the players get rest. So what I've done, Stephen, is I know it's a lot of information. Is let's go through some big picture outlooks from what I've seen so far. Again, just based on two preseason games. Let's first discuss the rotation. So I found it very interesting that Pop kind of stuck with what we thought here on the SpursCast would happen. He kind of started with in that first Utah game, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Keldon Johnson, Doug McDermott, and Jakob Poeltl. Then what was interesting was off the bench, because Trey Jones was out, he actually staggered the minutes of White and Murray as the backup point guard. And then from there, it let Bryn Forbes be a natural shooting guard. Then you had Lonnie Walker, the fourth, at the three. And then you had Devin Vassell at the backup four and Drew Eubanks at the five. Now, here's my question to you. Do you think Pop staggering DeJounte and Derek is something he might actually do for the season to make sure one of them is always on the floor? Or do you think this is just more so because Trey Jones is out right now I think it's an ankle injury?
Well, with Pop, it's always an enigma because you never really know what he's thinking. But, mm-hmm. I mean, he could be, you know, he could very well be doing what you see a lot of coaches in the NBA do with Steve Kerr with Golden State or, you know, even when Doc Rivers was coaching in the Clippers. Mm-hmm. They would keep a superstar or a big player on the floor at all times, whether it was Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, things like that, or, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, Paul George, you know, doing all that. I will say, though, that Pop has options this season because, as you know, there are no veterans on this Spurs team. Well, apart from Thaddeus Young, there are no real veterans on this Spurs team. They're completely going rebuild mode and doing what a lot of the fans and Spurs Twitter and all the Spurs Nation want them to do and go young and ride this young core and see what happens. And I think that's what Pop is doing right now. I think he's kind of testing each rotation out, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. And, I mean, hey, preseason doesn't count. The wins and losses don't count. So what a better way to test what you have than in preseason. I will say, though, Trey Jones is someone that I'm actually looking forward to seeing how he goes from year one to year two. He spent a lot of time in Austin, as you know. He has been a player that I personally have been keeping an eye on even before – you know, he was doing stuff in Austin. I was really looking forward to seeing how he did in training camp last year, how he progressed in Austin, and he progressed well from my understanding. So it is very possible that Pop could be stagnating both DeJounte and Derek White, putting them out there at different times, but also knowing you have a very capable point guard in Trey Jones, either on the bench, who could be a backup, or and you know how Pop likes to do these schedules where if a guy is going to miss some time to rest or, God forbid, an injury, you have Trey Jones as a backup and who I think should be getting some good minutes out there, at least to start the season.
Okay, I think you brought up a good point there. I think I agree with you where I think that if Trey Jones, I mean, when he eventually plays in the preseason, Pop had said after the last game that he probably is going to play on Friday, but the Spurs are still listing him as doubtful as of Thursday evening that you and I are recording this episode. But I agree. We're like, if Trey Jones eventually plays in the preseason, he looks good, just like how he was performing there at Summer League with this team, then I think that yes, you know, he will be that backup point guard. But if he doesn't, you know, either if he's not able to play, or maybe he doesn't look as good, you know, coming out of the gate in preseason, then I do think that Pop is going to more so stick with what he did in that first preseason game against Utah with Derek and DeJounte kind of staggering their minutes to make sure one of them is always, you know, on the floor at all times. So you know, that's something to watch, you know, in terms of rotations. You know, we can't take too much from that Detroit game. The lineups were all over the place because, you know, DeJounte Murray was out, then Pop wanted to give some run to veterans like Thaddeus Young and Al-Farouq Aminu. So that game, we're not going to look too much into the rotations. But I do think that Utah game was probably an initial set of rotations for the opening game of the season in a few weeks here. All right, so our next topic here is looking at is from these two preseason games is the offense. You know, again, we don't want to put too much emphasis because it's only two games, but we are starting to see some signs of modern basketball finally for San Antonio. We know that with, you know, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge always on this team, even though some other players that are still here like DeJounte, you know, they've always been a mid-range heavy team, and now that some of those veteran players are gone, we are starting to finally see in the numbers that this team has finally played more modern basketball. So let's talk about what we're seeing so far. The paint scoring is still kind of the same. They're still taking 49% of their shots in the paint in these first two preseason games, which is exactly what they did last year. But it's that three-point shooting. Now you're adding Doug McDermott. You're adding Bryn Forbes. Keldon Johnson's taking more threes. Even DeJounte took a few threes. So you're seeing an increase in volume from the three-point line. So we've seen a 6% increase. So right now, the Spurs, 37% of their shots in preseason are coming from the outside, and just 31% were coming from there last season. So it was 31% last season, 37% this season. Because of that increase in threes, we're seeing finally a drop in mid-range shooting. Right now in the preseason, only 14% of their attempts are coming from the mid-range, and 20%, that was the number last year, 20% of their shots came from mid-range. So I think that we definitely see that finally they're adapting more so to the modern basketball that the league has kind of shifted to these last 5 or 6 years. Also on offense, you know, in training camp, Coach Pop and the players talked about how they want to play faster. That one is still up for debate, because in that Utah game, yes, they did play very fast, 106 possessions per 48 minutes. It's a lot easier to play faster and just have a lot more energy when you're winning by 26 points in a game. However, in Detroit, a few nights later, they played very slow, 99.5 points per 100 possessions. We have to note that DeJounte Murray, their point guard, was out of that game. And right now, all the league is playing fast in these preseason games. Right now, the Spurs are actually considered slow with their pace. They're 23rd compared to the other teams. Again, this is only amongst three-point teams. I mean, not three-point, preseason teams. But if this was the number they took into the regular season, that would actually have been the fourth fastest. So the whole league right now is actually playing very fast. So what are your thoughts just based on their pace?
I'm actually excited to see their pace and see, like, when they're playing against some of these teams. And when I say some of these, I don't mean, like, you know, the Lakers or, you know, the Clippers. I want to see them go against, you know, a team like Orlando, a team like Phoenix. And regardless if they win or lose the game, I just want to see if they can sustain that pace for an entire game. And as you said, you know, yes, it is easy to play fast when you're winning by 26 points. But it's not so easy when the team you're playing against has a very good half-court defense or a very good defense in general that will easily be able to make switches, that will easily be able to kind of catch those players, you know, on their front foot and kind of not really catch them off guard a little bit. So that's what I'm more interested in seeing, if they can sustain the pace. And yes, I know Pop said, you know, we're going to play a faster pace this season. And I love your emphasis, Paul, on the word finally. They're finally coming into the modern NBA. Yeah. But I will say is that this Spurs team has the ability to be better than what we've seen the past few years. I say that because, as you said, DeMar DeRozan was a mid-range player. He had a lot of shots in the mid-range. Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, mm-hmm. before he left the Spurs. Unfortunately, he left the Spurs there. So the Spurs were a mid-range team for, I mean, I can't even remember how long. It's been at least 2 or 3 years, maybe more. You would know more mm-hmm. than I would on that. But I will say that three-point-wise, you know, I'm going to exaggerate this number. It felt like they took about 40 three-pointers in that first quarter of Monday's preseason game. But, I mean, you know, I'm excited to see if they can start knocking that down consistently, because that is, as you know, where the NBA is right now. Drew Eubanks can hit threes now, which I did not know before before last season. I was like, oh, he can hit threes. What I'm excited to see, though, is Jacques Lindell. I might be butchering that name, but I'm excited to see him because we actually have seen him in the Olympics. He actually was at the Olympics when they announced, oh, the Spurs are actually going to sign this guy after the Olympics are over. So I got to see him play at the Olympics. And if he can bring what we saw in Tokyo to San Antonio with the Spurs, I think the Spurs have a very good big man lineup with Jakob Poeltl and Lindell as their two main big men, because that could be a very good lineup for Pop.
Okay, yeah, interesting guess. And we'll get into some of those players here in a bit. And then one last note on the offense. Just looking at their offensive rating, this is kind of – one thing is, even though I know, again, we can't depend too much on preseason stats, is that there's kind of some consistency with their offensive rating where they had a really good game against the Jazz and they blew them out. They still had a 104.7 points per 100 possessions offensive rating. Then in a struggling game, they scored 105 points per 100 possessions. So right now in preseason amongst all the teams, it's about league average, their offense. And if they took that number into the regular season, that would actually be a very not so good number. So again, we kind of know that's going to be their issue is that when they're not able to get out and run or making threes, they're going to have trouble, like you mentioned, Steven, in the half court. So they're going to have to really try to keep this pace going because they cannot let a defense set up on them in the half court, or else it's going to be there are going to be some struggles without a player in DeMar DeRozan who was able to kind of break down a defense for you when you got stuck in situations. That's what this team is going to be missing, that kind of a player. All right, so now let's quickly note just a few notes on the defense. Again, just kind of like the pace, the defense is kind of all over the place a little bit, where like against Utah, they played elite defense. I mean, they were not letting the Jazz have anything close to the rim. Everything was contested. The Spurs players were forcing turnovers. They were swarming. They had a lot of energy. But then the opposite happens against Detroit, where they only had one good defensive quarter. And then aside from that, I mean, Detroit really played well against them. They shot 70% in the paint, Detroit, against the Spurs. We do, again, have to note that one of the Spurs' best defenders, DeJounte Murray, was out of this game, so that could be a big difference as well. So again, it's kind of up for grabs. I'm not going to say exactly where I see this team defensively. We know that right now in the preseason they would be ranked ninth amongst all these teams, and that's kind of where I think they might end up, because last year they were about league average in defense, and I think they could probably push themselves into that top 10 range just with the players that they have and with the players that they lost. I think that they have got a little bit better defensively. So just some other observations I've seen on defense is that so just look at some numbers here. Teams are still getting into the paint and shooting about the same from last year in terms of frequency of attempts in the paint. There is an increase right now in opponent increase in taking more threes, and also there's the mid-range is almost about the same. And then the last thing I saw was, I want to note this more so from the Utah game, is that Pop is kind of experimenting a little bit here, where he's like throwing like half-court traps and just letting just sending these kind of actions, and also having like an early zone look. So I really feel like Pop's kind of, like you mentioned earlier, he's kind of experimenting right now. Do you have any comments on the defense?
Yeah, I will say, like I said before, I mean, if Pop's going to experiment, this is the best time to do it. Mm-hmm. And I will say that defensively, I want to make a note that, yes, the Spurs played very good defense in that preseason game against Utah. What I will say, and Pop said this after the game as well, let's be reminded, Utah had some of their better players out of that game. Mm-hmm. So that's also something to kind of take into note there, where yes, they look good against, I'm going to call it Utah's B team. Can the Spurs do that against the Utah team that we're all used to seeing? That remains to be seen. But, yes, I mean, I will say defensively is where I think this Spurs team, and I'm going to do what you did. I'm not going to sit there and predict, oh, this is what they're going to do. But I think we can both agree that this team is going to be like a Jekyll and Hyde defensively, and sometimes maybe even offensively, because this is going to be a young team that has, for the most part, not played together very often. I mean, these guys are getting the keys to the car, so to speak, of DeJounte Murray, Kelvin Johnson, Lonnie Walker. These are all guys that are going to be driving this Spurs future here. And I can't sit here and tell you, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen, because we've never seen this team together like this. They've always had a veteran presence in them, and that for the most part is gone. And even losing a guy like Patty Mills in the locker room is going to be a big loss for the Spurs, because Pop has said he was that motivator, for the Spurs. And I mean, I think defensively for the Spurs team, I think, like you said, DeJounte Murray, one of their better defenders now, was not playing in that preseason loss to Detroit. But I think he's going to be the anchor of that Spurs defense, along with maybe Jakob Poeltl, maybe in there, and possibly even Keldon Johnson. We've seen Keldon Johnson do some great things defensively last season. So I think those three may be the ones the Spurs may have to lean on for defense, at least to start the season.
Hockey is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN, throw down $1 on any hockey game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code TBPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I want to move into not going super into detail into every single player, but I'm going to kind of go through the lineup. So I'm going to go through a few players that stuck out to me from the starting lineup, then what I would assume is the bench rotation, then of course like the depth lineup where like players that are going to play more so in like that third string group. So let's first begin with some of the starters that stuck out to me. DeJounte Murray in that first game against Utah, he really took over in the third quarter when he scored 9 of his 17 points. He was very aggressive. He got to the rim and he was one of the key players who got the most free throws. Now the reason why I bring this up is because in the next night or two nights later when they lost to Detroit and DeJounte was out, they really didn't get many free throws as a team. And so with DeMar DeRozan gone, who was their player who could get to the free throw line for them consistently, this may be up to DeJounte. And so this is a really good chance for him to take that leap in terms of more responsibility on offense and really having to play make for this team. Another starter that I'm interested in some observations I wrote down was Keldon Johnson. He is getting way more opportunity in the half court to run more pick and roll sets. Now, he's not being as effective with them, but at least he's getting that opportunity, and that's something you want to see from a young player, is getting that opportunity. So like it's mostly notable in the Utah game where like the Spurs would get a defensive rebound, they would push it, Keldon would have the ball, and if the defense set up on him, he was allowed to call a pick for Jakob Poeltl or for Doug McDermott or someone like that. So again, the fact that he's getting more opportunity is a good thing, just because they can see, you know, what is he going to be able to handle that and become an effective ball handler and playmaker or not. And then lastly on Keldon, he's actually launching more threes. Now, he hasn't made any in the preseason, so that's going to still be an issue so far is the accuracy, but at least he's taking more threes. He's not shying away from them when defenses are leaving him open and going under on screens. And also, his release looks a little bit different, looks a little bit quicker. And then the last starter I want to mention is Doug McDermott, just because, you know, he's finally got his first playing time with the Spurs. He's kind of doing what we talked about when he first signed with the Spurs, is that people think that he's only a three-point shooter, but he's actually a very sneaky player who scores inside. He likes to pump fake and get to the rim. He's good about cutting, and so that his teammates are finding him. So he's getting his points, a lot of his points in the paint off secondary action. Did you have any comments about any of those starters?
Yeah, Keldon Johnson, I think, again, I talked about the Olympics before. He was also on Team USA. And, I mean, whether he played a lot or not, and obviously there are games he played a lot in. If there was a blowout, there were games he did not play in if it was a closer game. But I will say, just being around guys like Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, you know, Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, that alone is going to really just change who he is as a player on the court. And I mean, that is maybe something you're starting to see, whether, you know, maybe he hasn't knocked down some threes yet, but I know Pop has told even Danny Green in the past, you know, just keep shooting. Eventually it will go down. And I'm pretty sure he's probably, if he's not, he probably should give that same advice to Keldon Johnson. Because, I mean, yes, eventually those shots are going to go in. I mean, nobody misses forever. I mean, mm-hmm. the Golden State Warriors are proof. You know, nobody's going to make every three they hit. But, I mean, I will say, Keldon Johnson is the one I'm excited to see how he elevates his game, really coming in to see how Keldon does. And then, who was the other one you mentioned, actually?
It was Murray, Keldon, and McDermott.
Okay, McDermott actually is someone I'm actually interested. I didn't follow him much whenever he was with Indiana, but I'm actually interested to see him play because I know I think we all know he's a very good 3-point shooter, but I'm wondering if he can be an off the ball type of player. That's something I'm actually looking forward to seeing because we all know he can hit the spot up three. We all know he can, maybe some who didn't know, he actually can drive the paint, as you mentioned. I want to know, can he be an off the ball type of player where he doesn't need to have the ball all the time to kind of make a play? That's something I'm curious to see. So those two, I think, are the ones I'm really looking at as the season kind of starts. And actually, I know Pop, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I think Pop did start McDermott in that preseason opener.
In both games.
In both games. So I'm curious, is he going to be a off-the-bench player or like a six-role kind of Rudy Gay type, or is he going to be a starter? That's something I'm actually more curious about, too.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I still see him as a starter just because they need spacing with that starting unit aside from Derek White. So I definitely think they need shooting. Now I'm going to discuss just a few observations from some players on the bench that I've noticed. Again, these are players that I assume will be in the normal bench rotation. Lonnie Walker IV. What I noted here was that he's just getting, just like Keldon, he's getting more opportunity to run more pick and roll, and kind of the Spurs are learning to see how does he do with that kind of responsibility. He did come off the bench in that first game when DeJounte was there, but then the second game. Pop had an interesting rotation where he started Keldon and Lonnie in the against Detroit, but then in the third quarter he actually brought them both off the bench. So that was just something random to note there. Drew Eubanks, you kind of mentioned this earlier. He's getting that he talked about in training camp how he's getting the opportunity now to shoot threes as long as he's open, and so he says he has the green light. And sure enough, he's taking pick and pop threes now. He made one in that first game against Utah. Something else again only in the game against Utah that I noticed was that he has a lot of physicality. He was really doing a great job of moving a lot of the front court players against Utah, but like you mentioned, Stephen, Rudy Gobert was missing, and some of their other better players, Rudy Gay, who's now on Utah, was also missing. And then the other player who I want to mention from the normal bench rotation, I assume, is Devin Vassell. One thing it's not really disappointed, but I just knew this was going to kind of happen, is that because he got so much opportunity in summer league, getting to be the lead ball handler and getting to run a lot of pick and rolls. Now that he's back with like DeJounte, Derek White, Lonnie, Bryn Forbes too, he's not getting that opportunity to run as many possessions. He's having to be a little bit more so in his normal natural kind of spot up shooting kind of role, and so because he has all those other ball handlers on the floor with him, so they're obviously going to get to be the lead ball handlers in the possessions. And then one other player I forgot on the bench, off the bench, was Bryn Forbes, just because now he's back with San Antonio. We're already seeing what he can do. He's just a lights out shooter. Anytime he's wide open, I already assume he's going to make it. That was kind of the feeling you used to get with Patty Mills, was like, if he's wide open, it's going in. And sure enough, so far Forbes has looked great in preseason with his outside shooting. He made six threes in that second game against Detroit, and he's also showing that if the first initial action isn't there, Pop's letting him run some pick and roll as well, and if that mid-range shot is wide open for him, he's taking it, and that's almost like an automatic shot for him as well. What are some of your thoughts on some of these bench players?
Well, like I said, Drew Eubanks, I know that he's gotten some flack over the past few seasons, but he's someone that I've really actually come to admire as a player. I mean, he works hard. He's put in his time in Austin. He kept at it, and he's getting a real opportunity now, especially with this young team. And he even earned himself a nice contract out of it. So he is attempting those those pick and pop threes. He's open. He's going to make it. One thing I think that a lot of people don't realize, or maybe they do realize, and I'm just wrong about it, I don't think they realize how physical he really can be. Drew Eubanks is someone, and I know obviously the G League or D League, as it used to be known as, works different than the NBA. Obviously, that we all know that. Just like Summer League works different than the NBA. And I think Josh Primo actually said that. He's like, the NBA is a lot faster than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Drew Eubanks is someone that I'm actually looking forward to seeing with this young core. Also, you mentioned Devin Vassell. Devin Vassell is someone who I'm excited, especially after his summer league. I'm very excited to see how he meshes with, Lonnie and DeJounte, Derek White, Keldon. I'm excited to see how he meshes with them. Now, as you said, he may not get, playmaking with Murray White, Lonnie, Bryn Forbes, But I'm excited to see how he meshes with this unit. And going off of Bryn Forbes, I know the reaction whenever it was announced that the Spurs were going to sign him again or bring him back. But I feel that the role he's going to be getting now is much more suited for him than what he had previously when he was with the Spurs. And I obviously, you know, he was a starter when he previously was with the Spurs, and that had a lot to do with injuries and, you know, other factors were in there. But now he's coming off the bench. He's being a good kind of like sixth man, at least that's what he seems to be, at least in these first two preseason games here. But he's a very good three-point shooter. I don't think there's any denying he's a very, very solid three-point shooter. He's a very solid shooter in general. We saw against Milwaukee in that playoff game, I think he had six, if I'm not mistaken, six three-pointers at one point. Maybe he had more, but I know he had a lot of threes in that playoff game for Milwaukee, and he kind of surprised people. So if he can bring that, which, I mean, I don't see him not bringing that, I think the Spurs will have a good, healthy bench core, particularly with if Vassell can get going, if the Spurs can stay healthy and Eubanks can stay healthy. I think the Spurs have a nice bench core that Pop can go off of.
Yeah, so this is just an aside here. Something that made me laugh last night when I was watching the game against Detroit was in the second half, Bryn actually started, instead of Lonnie and Keldon Johnson. And then somebody tweeted at me. They were like, "What if Pop actually wants Forbes to start again?" And then I don't know. They said something like that, and I was gonna retweet it just to make the Spurs fans mad, but I didn't. I don't think that'll happen. But I think you're right. You know, this is probably a better role for Forbes, is to be more so like a six man play off the bench, be that shooter for the team. Rather than, you know, starting what he used to do in San Antonio when he was back with the Spurs a few years ago. So yeah, I mean, that's just something that, again, you know, you're right. You know, Spurs fans get riled up if Forbes is in the wrong spot in the rotation. So, all right. So now I just want to talk about some more so end of the bench players here that have kind of some notes that I've noted here. Let's first, Jock Landale, like you mentioned earlier, you know, he's showing what he was able to do in the Olympics where he could stretch the floor. He's got a really good fluid motion as a big, and he made two threes in that first game against Utah. He's really good about it when he rolls. He rolls pretty hard, and then if the Spurs get him the ball near the rim, he's going to dunk it. He's not going to put him no layups. He's going to dunk the ball if when he's there. He's also been pretty good on the boards, and also he has good court vision, getting some assists. Josh Primo had that really standout game in that first preseason game against Utah, where he came off the bench with 8 points in the third quarter, didn't miss a shot, and then in the second and in the fourth quarter, he ends up with nine, so he ends up with 17 on the game on 4 or 5 shooting in his first preseason game. He only played 7 minutes against Utah in the fourth quarter, against Detroit in the fourth quarter, but he didn't score any points. He was 0-3 from the floor. Just again, going back to the Utah game mainly, is that he just looked really poised for a young player. He really took his time reading the floor. He showed some shooting off the dribble from three in the mid-range, kind of some stuff that he showed at Summer League. And then he also finished at the rim very comfortably against Utah. Again, it was one game, and he wasn't able to do those things against Detroit. But, you know, it was just something to note, you know, whether or not this team's going to send him to Austin later in the year, or if maybe they're going to keep him with the San Antonio team. And then lastly, you know, Lucas Samanic, he's toward the end of the bench here. I mean, right now, we can't say that this is going to be Pop's rotation right now, but two games in, he's already, you know, there's just not that opportunity for him again, where in the first game against Utah, Kata Bates-Jop checked in before Lucas Samanic did in the fourth quarter, and then also in the game against Detroit, Thaddeus Young and Al-Farouq Aminu both checked in before Lucas Samanic against Detroit. So again, right now, even with Rudy Gay gone, which we thought that maybe Luka would get more opportunity with Rudy Gay gone, two games into the preseason, it looks like Luka is still really far in that bench rotation. So do you have any thoughts on either Landale, Primo, or Samanic? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Landale real quick. I mean, I think, like I said, first of all, this is not a knock on Jakob, but it's like the Spurs have a big man that can finally dunk the ball. Like that's just exciting in itself. But I mean, no, for real, on a serious note, though, I mean, he can stretch the floor. So I think that's a big, big get for San Antonio, because I think we all know Jakob is not a three-point shooter. I mean, I think we all know that. But I mean, I got a big that can stretch the floor is something I think that a lot of these NBA teams are going with now. We see, you know, Nikola Jokic from Denver. You know, we saw Marc Gasol whenever he was in Memphis and also in Toronto. You know, there's a lot of these big men out there that can do that. So the Spurs having one in their back pocket, so to speak, is a good sign for that they're switching to this modern day NBA, which is, I think, something that they needed to do a long time ago. But we're not going to get into that part. He's good on the boards, which is good. The Spurs have struggled rebounding the basketball the past few seasons. His court vision is something I'm very excited to see because, from what I heard, he made some pretty good passes to some of these guards in the preseason game against Utah. So I'm very excited to see that. I was joking with my friends after the Spurs drafted Primo. I was like, is he even old enough to drive to the game? I mean, do we know how old he is? Because he's so young. But I mean, I think it's pretty much a given, at least in my opinion, that he's going to be in Austin. I mean, he is 18 years old. He has a lot to learn. But as you said, 8 points in the third quarter against Utah, 9 points in the fourth quarter. He only played 7 minutes, I think, against, Detroit, I think, because Pop did not, I mean, he's young. I don't think Pop wants to, you know, just throw him in there and be like, oh, here, welcome to the NBA, kid. Like, go play all these minutes. I think he wants to take his time with him, especially with someone who is coming from college, 18 years old. You know, he did do Summer League, of course. But, I mean, he's trying to ease him into the NBA. So I think he will be going to Austin more than likely, in my opinion. But I am excited for what I saw from him, which is he looked like a very capable guard, a very good – he kind of reminded me a little bit of at least the aggressive side of him, kind of like a Russell Westbrook, like very aggressive. He's not afraid to, you know, mix it up with some of these players, which I think is a very good sign for him. As for Luka, not going to lie, I forgot he was on the team because we haven't seen him. And I mean, that's just kind of sad. We haven't seen him. Beats Diop got in before him. I expected Thaddeus Young to check in before him just because Thaddeus Young is a veteran. And I expected that. But I mean, the fact that Luka is so buried in the rotation and Pop is experimenting with these lineups right now tells me, and again, Spurs fans, do not quote me as saying this is exactly what's going to happen because I have no idea what Pop is thinking, and Paul, I don't think you do either. But in my opinion, I think Luka's days are numbered just because he's barely getting minutes right now. And I mean, if Pop is playing some of these guys and he's going to have to cut some of these guys and Luka is not getting any minutes. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, it's really tough to tell. The only reason why I wouldn't, you know, cause I, right now what you're saying there, I was already bringing me back memories of Livio Jean Charles. Remember there was a player who they had drafted in the first round and then he was on the team and they really just had to open up roster space. So they had waived him, but I think he was in the last year of his deal. And that's why I don't see this with Luka because, you know, they actually have an interesting day coming up on October 31st, Halloween. They have to decide if they're going to pick up his team option for next season. I think they will. They're probably going to do that for Luka, Devin Vassell. And I think there's another player there who I'm forgetting, but anyway, I think that they will. And again, the reason why, you know, this is becoming interesting with Luka's situation, if he's not going to end up playing this year a lot, because they only have 2 more years with him on contract this year and the next year, and then I think he goes into restricted free agency the year after. So that's why they're kind of like on a timeline to see exactly what's he going to turn into. You know, Keldon Johnson's got that opportunity the last few years. Even Devin Vassell got an opportunity last year. So a lot of these younger players are getting their opportunity, but Luke is still kind of that young player who they haven't given that opportunity to. So again, I don't know. I really thought that with Rudy Gay gone, that for sure Luka would get those backup 4 minutes. But right now, just based on the rotations of like having Devin play the four as the backup. And then even bringing some of these veterans in over Luka in playing time, it's interesting to watch. Again, maybe Pop does go put him in, you know, as the backup four in these next few games. Maybe it was just, again, for him to try these different lineups out the first two games. Maybe it just means nothing here, but the fact that Luka didn't play much. But again, it's just something to watch, again, as some of these deadlines do come up. And so our last topic here, let's look at some notes and roster updates for the team. Pop did say recently, before the games took place, that Zach Collins, that we finally got a little bit of a timetable on him. Here's Pop's exact quote. He said, "Last I heard was after Christmas, and I'm not sure after that what that means." So I would again probably say maybe like early January or maybe mid January is what maybe they're thinking for Collins, just looking at what Pop said there. So at least we know that at some point he is going to eventually get back to the team, and we expected that based on the deal that they gave him, because we know that this season is fully guaranteed. So I think the Spurs thought that yes, at one point we we are going to see Zach Collins on the floor. So that's probably why they gave him guaranteed money for year one of that 3-year deal. The other 2 years aren't fully guaranteed. There's been some Austin moves where the Spurs signed Nate Renfro, who used to play with the Austin Spurs and also on their summer league team, and also Eric Holman, but then they waived them immediately after. And again, this is just more so done to get their G League rights. They're probably doing the same thing. They were reported to sign Denzel Mahoney. They haven't signed him yet as of Thursday evening that you and I are recording this, Steven. Per Michael Scotto, they were going to sign Denzel Mahoney, who is a 6'5 undrafted guard out of Creighton. And again, they'll probably waive him so that way they can use it. They can have him in the G League with Austin. And then just an interesting date to watch is now Steven and I are recording this on October 7th. And so that means that we're 11 days now from when the Spurs need to either waive or trade two players to get their roster down to 15 guaranteed players before opening night. And then the last rumor that we have here is there's been some just an initial not initial but the latest Thaddeus Young / Phoenix Suns rumor. Per John Gambadoro, a Phoenix radio host who's pretty plugged into the Suns, he reports that you know, the Suns do have interest still in Thaddeus Young, but it looks right now like he's going to be in San Antonio for now. Thaddeus Young, he says that it's doubtful that a Phoenix trade happens right now, and kind of something we've already discussed on the Spurs cast, that Phoenix really doesn't have a good trade package for the Spurs if the Spurs don't want to get back a lot of players. So a deal would probably look like Dario Saric and Jalen Smith for Thaddeus Young, and which would put San Antonio in an even worse position in terms of roster spots, because then they would have to look at trading or waiving three players instead of just two players where they're at right now. So I know that's a lot of information. Steven, do you have any comments on any of this information?
Yeah, I mean, Zach Collins is someone that, you know, whenever he was with Portland, he's someone I was like, man, I wish the Spurs could pick up this guy because he looks like a solid big guy. And then he got hurt. I'm like, oh, well, never mind. But, I mean, they got him now. And I'm thinking, if any coach in the NBA can turn an injured player around, it's Greg Popovich. I mean, we've seen Pop, you know, I'm not going to say nurse them back, but he's kind of taking care of them to where they could be as healthy as they can be and their careers are sustained longer. You know, Tim Duncan comes to mind, obviously. Timmy had that, you know, plantar fasciitis problem, and he had the knee issues, and Pop really extended his career. Manu Ginobili, another one. I mean, you know, these guys are in good hands with Pop as their coach. So Zach Collins coming back after Christmas. Let's just hypothetically say I'm going to go even further than that, probably even January after the new year, maybe, because we know how Pop doesn't like to really throw these guys out there after they've been out for a long period of time. But I'm excited to see Zach Collins play with this group as well, because before he was injured in Portland, he looked like a very solid player. As far as their Austin moves, I will say the Austin Spurs look like they're going to be pretty good when the season starts for them. So I'm excited for that. As for Thaddeus Young, I know this might not be popular, so I'm ready for the tweets. I'm ready for them to come in. But, I mean, I'm actually wanting the Spurs to keep Thaddeus Young. And I say that because there needs to be some sort of veteran presence on a team. Well, it doesn't matter if it's basketball or not. Any sports team needs some sort of veteran presence. And right now the Spurs are lacking that. Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, these two guys are veterans. They know what it takes to win basketball games. They know what it takes to, you know, just get down in there when you need to dig down deep. And I guess, above all, just to motivate. And I'm not saying that these young guys cannot motivate. I'm just saying that it's good to have a veteran in your lineup that has been doing this for a while. And Thaddeus Young seems like a nice guy, seems like a solid player. And it also, it seems like Pop really has some use for him. So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, Saric and Jalen Smith would be the trade package, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah, most likely. That's kind of what works salary-wise.
And, again, that puts Pop in even a weirder situation, because I know Saric was rumored as well I believe it was last season, was rumored as well. So that may happen, but I just don't see it happening because, as you said, it puts Pop in a weirder situation because now you need to, you know, move three players instead of, you know, so I just don't see it happening, honestly.
Okay, and one thing I forgot I wanted to note as well is the NBA finally released some of their official dates for the season. So one key date to keep an eye on is February 10th. That is now that's the NBA trade deadline for this year. So again, regarding if Al-Farouq Aminu and Thaddeus Young are still on the team past October 18th, which is when the teams need to cut down their rosters down to 15 players, well then the next date to keep an eye on if you're a Spurs fan is February 10th, which is the last day to make trades.
Which is actually the day after my mom's birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so again, those are some things to watch, Spurscast listeners, in the coming days and months ahead. So don't forget to visit ProjectSpurs.com. The season's about to start here, so we have recaps, analysis, and observations coming out for the preseason games, and of course, we'll take those into the regular season. For those of you that follow some of my work with the stats and stuff like that, all of my databases are coming; they're on their way. I will be releasing them fully once the season does start because I don't use a lot of preseason data. But one thing I have launched already is the shot location box score. So if you like that tool that I had available last year on Project Spurs, it's already there. I'm tracking all the preseason data for that shot location box score. So you can go to check, keep an eye on that. It's already available with all the preseason data. And then once the regular season starts, I'll fully bring back a lot of the different databases that I create for Project Spurs. All right. So thanks again to Steven for joining me here on the Spurs cast and also to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.